Talking about myself there, of course. I'm one or two others. Thank you for everyone who's helped this week in different ways. I meant to mention earlier those of you who've helped with the walking day things. Peter and Ross particularly head that up. But I know there's lots of other people involved in the marshalling and things. And thank you for everyone. And for those of you who've brought refreshments today. By the way, I meant to mention that there are ice creams later as well for the, well, for anybody, I think, but particularly the younger ones, which will be good. What was the other thing I was going to say? Yeah. And open house this week went really well. Thank you for those of you who came and supported that. We had over 40 here. That was only our second one. It's the first Wednesday of every month. And the idea is just to open the place up, you know, for breakfast and for the morning, for some coffee, for some fun and games, but also just to connect with people. So please see that as an opportunity to bring your neighbours and friends. I know everyone's not available during the day, but if you can do that, that's the first Wednesday of every month. That would be brilliant. So now, I thought the other day, how many of you actually do remember anything we speak about at the front here on a Sunday? Does anybody actually ever go home and talk about it? Two of you, yeah. Do you remember what I said last time I spoke about humour? Why is humour good for you? Does anybody remember any of those things? It's what? It's good medicine. Yeah, actually, as you laugh, as you enjoy yourself, you actually release those endorphins, whatever, into your body. Helps fight disease and all kinds of stuff. What are you laughing about now?
Wrong word.
End. Endorphins. What's endomorphins then? Is that just a word I've made up? There you go. Yeah, that's made you laugh already, you see. I haven't even told you any funny stories today yet. Actually, I'm going to just tell you a brief one. It's not from a book or anything like that, like the ones last month. I kid you not, this story is true. For my 60th birthday a few weeks ago, our youngest son, Matthew, who lives in London, as many of you know, he bought me for my... but one of my birthday presents, a butchery course. It's not your normal, is it? But a butchery course in Borough Market in London, just near Southwark Cathedral there. And so I went down the other week and I had to go and just do a few other jobs at Sam's house and things. I went on this butchery course for the evening at Borough Market, and you know, you learn how to cut up a cow, basically. It was great. I absolutely loved it. Now, some of you are thinking, oh, that's not for me, and others of you are thinking, wow, that sounds like a good present. And particularly because you eat all the beef at the end of the evening with a nice bottle of red wine. So it was a great evening, and I took loads and loads of photos and stuff like that. We went out for a meal the other week with some old friends that we've known for 40-odd years, and we were down at that restaurant the other side of Southport. I can't remember what it's called now. It used to be called Treetops or something. It's a nice restaurant just down there. Do you know the one I mean? Just on the way to Formby there. And we had a lovely meal and stuff, and about 9:30, we just sort of rounding things up. I said, look, I've got my phone out. I showed them all these photos, and I kid you not, they said, Mark, you showed us those 45 minutes ago. Honestly, I must be getting old and stuff. You know, I've got a brain like... You just killed my little punchline then, Wynn, by that. It'll come in. I've got a brain like... Is that the front door or the back door? Is it? Anyway, no, never mind, yeah. There was only a couple of glasses of wine, Wynn, on that one. There we go. So humour. Now, let's come to our text then. You can't really speak about anything else on Pentecost Sunday apart from Acts chapter 2. So if you've got your Bibles or you've got your tablets or whatever you are reading from, let's read together Acts chapter 2 and some of the verses from there. Hopefully it should come up on your screen. There we go. On the day Pentecost was being fulfilled, all the disciples were gathered together in one place, and suddenly they heard the sound of a violent blast of wind rushing into the house from out of the heavenly realms. The roar of the wind was so overpowering, it was all anyone could do to bear. Then all at once a pillar of fire appeared before their eyes. It separated into tongues of fire that engulfed each one of them, and they were all filled and equipped with the Holy Spirit, and we're inspired to speak in tongues, empowered by the Spirit to speak in languages that they'd never learned. Now, at that time, there were Jewish worshippers who had emigrated there from many different lands to live in Jerusalem. And when the people of the city heard this roaring sound, crowds came running to where it was coming from, stunned over what was happening, because everyone could hear the disciples speaking in his or her own language. Bewildered, they said to one another, "Aren't these all Galileans? So how is it that we can hear them speaking in our own languages? We're from northeastern Iran, northwestern Iran, Elamites, Mesopotamia, Judea, eastern central Turkey, the coastal areas of the Black Sea, Asia, Turkey, southern Turkey, Egypt, Libyans, who are neighbors of Cyrene, visitors from all over the Roman Empire, Jews and converts to Judaism, people from Crete, Arabs. Yet we hear them speaking of God's mighty wonders in our own dialect." They all stood there, dumbfounded and astonished, saying to one another, "What is this phenomenon?" Others poked fun at them and said, "They've been to the pub in Southport. They're drunk on wine." No, they're drunk on new wine. Wow, what a story. Now, one of the things that we've been highlighting again on Tuesday evenings on this Bible course is the need that when you're looking at a text, you look first of all at the context. Very good. People have been listening, haven't they? Good, that's great. When you're studying a text from the Bible, you need to look at the context. You need to look at where it was written, when it was written, who it was originally written to, what was going on in history at that time. And this is very important, of course, with our particular passage here. This day of Pentecost. Now, in the Jewish nature of things, the Jewish tradition, there were three great, what we call pilgrimage festivals. Times of year when people used to travel from all over the Roman Empire. If they felt a kinship and an association with Jerusalem and with their Judaistic faith, they would make that journey and travel three times a year for these three festivals. Firstly, Passover. Secondly, Pentecost, and thirdly, what we call the Feast of Tabernacles, literally like an idea of tents. And two of those were very important agricultural festivals, and that is the same here with Pentecost. Pentecost and Tabernacles were very, very important. Pentecost was all about the beginning of harvest, the first crops coming in, praising God, saying thank you for these new crops, and praying, obviously, that the rest of the harvest would be brought in. Tabernacles, literally tents, what they used to do, they used to actually erect temporary tents out there in the fields and things so that they could gather in the harvest. That's why they were called tabernacles. They were like tents, mobile tents that they could set up to help bring in the harvest. And they still do that today in the back of their houses and things, and in the garden. They still make up these little shelters as a kind of a memorial of that. So the Feast of Tabernacles was the end of harvest, the finalizing of the bringing in of the crop. So when we read here about this story of what is going on at Pentecost and they were all gathered together, yes, there's what's going on here on the day, but you have to understand what was going on in the Jewish mentality at this time and why Pentecost was such an important season for them. All of these festivals, they weren't just about agricultural things anymore. They weren't just about those kind of issues. They were stories and events which conjured up for them their background and their history and their culture and what was going on. So, of course, the first one, Passover, was all about when the people of Israel had been in slavery for hundreds and hundreds of years to the Egyptians. Moses comes along, and you know the story. We haven't got time to do it today. But Moses takes them out of Egypt, out of slavery, away from Pharaoh. And they go through the Red Sea miraculously, and they end up in this desert area. And for 50 days, Pent is to do with the number 5. 50, okay? For 50 days, the people of Israel wandered around. Excuse me. Let me just get some water here. They wandered around, and then they ended up at a mountain, Mount Horeb. Sometimes they call it Mount Sinai. And that was where Moses went up the mountain, had an encounter and met with God, and then came down holding these two tablets of stone. Now, what was written on those tablets of stone? The Ten Commandments. You see, when you're released from a situation, when you've been in slavery for all those hundreds of years, and suddenly you're set free, freedom is a funny thing. We've been singing about it this morning, isn't it? But freedom isn't just about having no rules and no regulations and just complete carte blanche. That's not freedom. You still need to know how to live your lives, don't you? You still need guidelines about how to live and the best ways of living in terms of community and family and relationships and all these things here. And so what the Jews thought of as Pentecost, 50 days after their release, the Passover, and Moses goes up the mountain and comes down. He comes down bearing these laws, but think of them more rather than just, you know, don't do this, don't do this. They're positive. It's not a question of being a negative thing. It's about, look, here's some guidelines now. You've been set free. These will help you live. These will help you enjoy life to the full. And more than that, these will help you fulfill your destiny. The nation of Israel wasn't just chosen. I don't know whether you've ever thought about this, but why do we always talk about Israel? Why do we keep going on about the Jews all the time? Why don't we talk about other parts of the world? Well, it was because in those early days, God needed to try and show the world and explain to the world what he was like. And he decided in the end to take a good-for-nothing group of nobodies, really, through the line of Abraham and say, look, I'm going to take you and I'm going to make you special. And through you, I'm going to show to the world what I'm like. And the people of Israel had a destiny and they had a purpose and they had a mission. They had a calling. Not just to be God's special ones, you know, oh, we're special. They had a mission. They were supposed to take that specialness and send it around the world. They were supposed to share with the world what God is like, God's love and God's purpose and God's life. Do you see that? And so all of this that was happening here, this when God comes and says, look, this is the way of life I want you to follow, it was so that they could fulfill that mission, so that they could be the people that they were supposed to be to the world. So that's 50 days, remember, from Passover, they're released, 50 days to Pentecost, this time when the Jews remembered, not just about harvest, but they remembered that Moses went up the mountain and came down with this new way of life. Now let's just think about what we're talking about here in terms of our own Christian heritage from 2,000 years ago. We have the death of Jesus when the power of death is broken, and that means that people can be set free. And 50 days later, Jesus now, who's gone up like Moses did, has now sent his Holy Spirit. He's not sent down now a set of laws and rules and regulations written on tablets of stone. He's sent his Spirit down to write those things on human flesh and hearts, hasn't he? That's what we're talking about here. We have a law now that's not written on stones and tablets, but principles and ways and energy and life and spirit that is written in our hearts and in our lives. And that's what Pentecost was. And that's why this occasion is so important to us. And that's why it's kind of all merged into that history of Israel there. But the thing I suppose that I want us to go away with today more than anything else is that the Spirit of God coming at Pentecost is to bring us into a place where we can fulfill God's destiny for us. I think in the past, so many of us have sort of focused on Pentecost and the idea of being filled with the Holy Spirit as just some kind of ethereal experience that is just for us. You know, oh, I've got this tingling that the Holy Spirit is working in my life and stuff. Great. Great. Honestly, I'm not denying and decrying that thing there. But It's not just for you. When the Holy Spirit came those 2,000 years ago to those early disciples and bam, he changed their lives. He took a group of frightened, confused, mainly uneducated people who were meeting in that room, 120 of them, and suddenly they had power to change the world, didn't they? And that's what God wants to do. It's not just an experience for experience. Say, oh, I've tasted of the Holy Spirit. I've got the Holy Spirit. Great. But what's it about now? When the Holy Spirit comes, he comes to bring us into a mission, which is to bring the love and the purposes and the power and the plans of God to everybody. Is that right? I always remember when I first met a guy called George Verwer, who founded Operation Mobilization. And I had the privilege then, when I was just 19, of going on one of their conferences and things. I always remember him putting up a big sign saying, Holy Ghost equals Holy Go. And I've never forgotten that. Maybe you've never heard that before. Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit. Holy Ghost equals Holy Go. And if you haven't got that, then you're missing something here with Pentecost. Because that's what it's about. It's not about God coming and just, for our sake, giving us a little tingly feeling up our spine, helping us to speak in some strange languages and things like that. That's all part of the story. Don't misunderstand me here. But the thrust of the Holy Spirit coming at Pentecost is so that we can be the people that God intended us to be, which is to send his love and take his love and take his mercy and take his forgiveness and take his glory to the ends of the earth. Is that right? Starting first of all in Hesketh Bank. Says that in the New Testament there somewhere, doesn't it? Starting in Hesketh Bank and then even to Banks over there. Yeah. Careful, careful. Then even to Liverpool. And then the ends of the earth. That's right, isn't it? Is that what it's about? That's what Pentecost is about. And maybe you are like me. Most days you don't feel as though you've got all the energy and the power and everything. Maybe you just feel a little bit like those early disciples, a bit confused sometimes about what's going on in your life. Why is this happening to me? Why is this happening to my family? Maybe you feel a little bit uneducated. You think, you know what, I haven't got it all. I can't speak ancient Hebrew and ancient Greek and ancient whatever it is. Scouse. Can you speak ancient Scouse, Paul? Oh, yeah. Of course you can. You know, some of us sometimes think, you know, well, we've not had all that education and things like that. What can God do with me? And that was the same for these early people here. But God, by his Spirit, when his Spirit came, he transformed their lives and made them into people who turned that ancient world 2,000 years ago upside down. And we're still, you know, enjoying the fruits of that, aren't we? 2,000 years later. So if you forget everything else this morning, I want you to remember that this Pentecost occasion and the Holy Spirit coming, it's not just about having an experience of God, but it's about taking the presence of God then out there. Holy Ghost equals, come on, let's say it. Holy Ghost equals, you remember that? Write it in your Bibles. Write it, you know, on your hand. Write it somewhere. Write it here on your heart. Holy Ghost equals Holy Go. So there we go. Pentecost isn't just about first fruits. It's about people, God giving to his people a way, a new way of life, a mission to bless the whole world. I read a nice little quote from N.T. Wright this week. He said, we can get so caught up in all the discussions about the wind and the fire and the flames and the tongues and all these things, which are all interesting things, and it's important that we do discuss those sometime this morning. But we can get caught up in all that stuff, but it's far more important to be actually out there in the wind. Where did the wind come from? I don't know. What's the wind doing now? I'm not sure, but I want to just get in the wind. For me, this week, I just, when I was upstairs in that room there, I didn't hear a sound of a rushing wind or anything like that. You know, but I stood up and I just felt like I needed to do that. And I don't know whether you relate to that at all. You probably think, what's he doing? But, you know, like sort of, I felt as though I just needed to catch the wind. You know, like sometimes when you're out in a breeze or whatever, and or sometimes if I'm driving along in the car and it's in a sort of country lane and just put the window down and I just stick my hand out the wind. You know what I mean? You get that feeling in your hands there. You think, oh, that's nice. I like that. It's that kind of thing. Just, Lord, you know, I don't understand about all these things, but I just want to feel that wind blowing in my life. Do you feel that? Do you see what I'm saying this morning? Yeah, you're looking at me a bit like, what's he doing? Feel that wind just blowing through your life. It's far more important to be actually in the wind, letting it sweep through our lives, our hearts, our imaginations, our powers of speech, transforming us into the people on fire with the love of God. Yeah, and that's important. Important. Well, look, a couple of other things just while we're working through this passage here. This pillar of fire appeared. Now, I don't know whether you remember back in the story that we were hinting at before, but when the people left Egypt, they were released out of slavery, they needed some guidance. Where were they going to go during the day and things? And a cloud came and led them during the day. And then at night, there was a pillar of fire. This is back in the ancient times when Moses had first led them out of Egypt. And that pillar of fire was representative of the presence of God. God was with these people when they'd left Egypt. And he was going to lead them and he was going to guide them. So these early disciples, remember, they were Jews. They knew when they suddenly saw this image, I don't know how it appeared in the room, but they saw this pillar of fire in the room. They'd have had a little shiver up their spine thinking, wow, this is like Exodus. This is the presence of God here. Not as somebody left the candle near the curtain. They would have known straight away, wow, pillar of fire. God is here in this place. God's presence is here in this place. And what I love about this bit here now is this, remember, it's separated into tongues of fire that engulfed each one of them. You see, when God used to come by his presence in the past, he sometimes would come upon one individual or upon a group of people. But generally, people didn't know and taste the presence of God in their own lives. Didn't work like that. But now, because of Jesus dying, raised to life again, going into the heavenly place. By the way, as well, just something for you to think about and chew over. Where is that heavenly place? You know, sometimes I think because of some of our Greek philosophy in the past, we sometimes see heaven as being out there somewhere. We're here. Heaven is removed. That is not biblical. Can I tell you that now? I don't want to shake too many feathers up this morning in one go. But that is not biblical. Heaven is not there somewhere. Heaven actually is probably a lot closer than you think it is. We talk about thin places. When Jesus went into the heavenly realm, he didn't go to some place millions of miles away. He just went to another dimension. And that dimension is here now. Your kingdom come now here. We can taste and experience and know here the kingdom of heaven. Jesus said that. He said it's here. It's among you now. Don't keep thinking that this life is just about dying and then going somewhere else. It's not. That's not the Christian story. That is not the biblical narrative. It's not about let's just live for 70 years now, die, and let's get to heaven. It's about living God's life now, here. Isn't it? Don't keep thinking of heaven as somewhere else. God wants heaven to be here. Eventually it will be. There'll be a new heaven, new earth. It doesn't mean two separate kind of, there's heaven again and there's earth again. God will be here. His temple will be here. His presence will be here. You read the stories there in Revelation, those images in Revelation. It's all about coming together. It's not about two separate kind of places. It's important that. So much of our Christianity has suffered because of Plato and Aristotle and some of these other things. We need to get a lot of Greek mythology out of our theology. You know, this is just a separate thing, but you know, don't keep thinking of yourself as this bit is spiritual and this bit is physical. That's not biblical. Do you understand that? That's Greek. That's Plato. You know, here's the spirit, here's the body, and the body is bad, and we need to get rid of the body so that we can enjoy the spirit. That is not biblical, ladies and gentlemen. That's not what you read in the Bible. We are whole beings, body and spirit. And when we're resurrected, we will have a new. We're not just going to be little, you know, ethereal spirits floating away on top of a cloud somewhere. We're going to have brand new bodies, much better than these ones now. But, you know, we're going to have bodies. There will be physicality. It's not just something ethereal out there. Anyway, I don't know how I got onto that. Sorry about that one. I'm just going on a little rant there. So, the thing we were saying about the pillar of fire, the presence of God comes. And then it divides and it starts to go on everybody. The presence of God is not just for a few special people, a few religious people, a few special trained people. The presence of God is for everybody. That's what we read here. When that fire split, it landed on everybody. You and I, every one of us can taste the presence of God in our lives. Is that exciting or what? Now maybe you've never realized that, but you can know the presence of God in your life every day. Yep. Oh, there's my little alarm clock and it's gone already. Dear, oh dear, where does time go? They were all filled and equipped with the Holy Spirit. And they started to speak in these tongues. Now, it'd be remiss of me not to mention it briefly. But from what I understand, and there's a lot of talk about different things to do with languages and tongues and stuff like this, there seems to be in the New Testament for me a couple of different kinds of supernatural, if you like, languages or ways of doing language. And language is important because we communicate through language. There obviously is in the New Testament prayer language of some kind where when the Spirit of God comes on you and you've got that groaning inside and you want to communicate something with God and you just can't find the words to do it, God can sometimes, by His Spirit, give you another language, a prayer language, where you can just communicate with God that way. And it's a wonderful gift to have. But it's not everything. Don't think, oh, I haven't got that or so I must be inferior. No, you're not. We all have different gifts and different abilities. If you want that gift, ask somebody to pray for you afterwards today. God loves to give gifts. He's a gift giver. But it's not the be-all and end-all. And here, it's quite clear that the kind of supernatural language that we're talking about here is that Emily, who's born in Manchester and lived in Tarleton a lot of her life and lived in London a little bit, suddenly she can speak Russian. Has she done Russian at college? No. Did she do Russian at university? No. But how is she speaking in Russian then? I don't know. But somehow the Spirit of God has come upon her life and she's speaking Russian. And this person's speaking Spanish and this person's speaking French. Now, I've spoken to people who've had that gift. Have you? I'm not saying it critically, but that gift does exist. There are people with stories where they're in a situation and they don't know how to communicate. And God somehow, supernaturally, gives them the ability to speak in a foreign language. Now, we're going to Spain next week. I do pray God will give me that gift. Hola! That's about as far as I can get so far. Maybe Buenos Dias. But anyway, you know, wouldn't it be a fantastic gift that to have? You know, I mean, you need that gift sometimes when you go to Newcastle. Has anybody else experienced that? You think, sorry? What are you talking about? And Glasgow, man alive, you go to Glasgow, you need the gift of tongues in Glasgow to understand what they're talking about. We can experience these things. What was going on here, though? Why was that happening? It was because God, at this moment in time, when he's bringing his presence for everybody, instead of the communities being disparate and separate and it being a divided world, God is bringing together oneness. God is bringing together community. God is bringing together here cohesiveness between people. God is not about division and about this group over here and this group over here. God loves to bring unity. Is that right? You see that all the way through the New Testament. And that is what is happening here. And it doesn't matter what background they're from, what culture they're from, what language they speak. God wants to meet with them and bring his presence to them and bring his love and his joy and his peace to them there. And you know, it doesn't matter where you're from today. I know some of us sometimes, you know, you sometimes think about your background. I wrote a little thing here somewhere. Don't let your background shape everything about you. Yes, of course, education and training are useful. But more importantly is to be filled and equipped with the Spirit of God. Is that right? Yes, education is important. Keep studying, keep learning, keep growing in your understanding about the world and about life and about people. But the most important thing is to be equipped and filled by the Holy Spirit of God. Is that right? Because only then will you be able to fulfill your destiny and your purpose and your mission, which is to take the love of God to this world around us here. We're just going to close now. I'm sorry if some of that was a little bit rambling and I got a bit sidetracked with a couple of things there. But anyway, it doesn't matter. You still love me, don't you? Is that right? Good. We're just going to close. I've got a track that we're going to put on and the words are going to come up on the screen. And it's about the Holy Spirit. And it's basically a prayer, really, about the Holy Spirit coming. And that might be relevant for you in different ways today. Maybe you actually have never tasted the love of God in your life. Maybe you don't know what we're talking about here when we talk about the Spirit of God coming upon you. Maybe this morning you just need to say, Lord, I want to taste some of that. I want some of that action in my life. And almost, you know, you might not do this, but in your heart, you might just throw open your heart and say, oh, fill me with that love. Fill me with your Spirit this morning. Maybe for the first time. Others of us, maybe we've come a little bit weary and a little bit dry, a little bit blasé about some of these things, maybe. You know, the Spirit, when he came in power and there was change. But some of us, and you know, the Spirit sometimes comes in quieter ways. And we need to realize that. It's not either or, it's both. The Spirit comes in power. Sometimes he comes in amazing manifestations. But sometimes he just comes in that quiet voice and that feeling that you get inside and you think, yeah. Yeah, maybe you want to respond in that way this morning. The words are these, Spirit, come and fill me till my life is overflowing, for the promise isn't over. You are here today. Spirit, come and fill me with heaven's love and power. Make your home right here now in the fabric of my heart. It just lasts for a couple of minutes. And what I want you to do with me in a moment is just stand and particularly those of you who you think, you know, I need prayer for something this morning. It can be anything, but there will be a little prayer team down here. And while the song is on, just come to the front here and somebody will meet with you and pray with you. If you want to just experience any of those particular gifts for the first time today and you want somebody just to pray with you, just come naturally down here. But if you're just staying in your seat, some of you might be brave enough to do that with me, you know, but in your heart, do that with me, will you? And just say, Lord, Spirit, come. Well, in whatever way today, just equip me and fill me again in order to be able to be the person and the people that we need to be in our communities and our lives, we pray. So let's stand together. Thank you for that, Josh. Just put that on and the words on the screen.
Spirit, come and fill me till my life is overflowing. flowing, for the promise isn't over. You are here today, Spirit.